First thing I'll just say, farmer to farmer, is I know you're busy. I know you're tired. Slow down.
Words of wisdom for this spring. From Virginia Farm Bureau, this is Cattle Pulse. It's March 2025, and I'm Elijah Griles in Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to the March episode of Cattle Pulse. February was, needless to say, a wild ride from a weather standpoint for many of you, and we also saw another month of near-record prices. Later on in the episode, we'll have that interview for you with Virginia Farm Bureau Safety Coordinator Matt Knuckles. But let's start by taking a look at our national market picture. Our feeder cattle futures contracts for April is at $276.08 a hundredweight. That's up 2.07% from a month ago. Our May contract is at $275.08 a hundredweight, up 2.33% from a month ago. And our August contract is also at $275.08 a hundredweight, up 2.33%. from a month ago. We're going to talk about three main factors affecting our feeder cattle futures markets. The first is that cattle on feed report from USDA. The second is how are we looking on the beef demand side of things before summer grilling season starts. And third, we'll briefly touch on tariffs, although I must say there's not too much to report there as the situation is evolving so quickly. Now, looking at our cattle on feed report, we saw 11.7 million head of cattle on feed on February 1st of 2025. That's a 0.7% decrease from February of 2024. Our marketings were up 1.4% year over year. And then our placements in January were up 1.7% from January of 2024, but that month was unusually low because of winter storms delaying placements last year. So ultimately, this is an interesting picture because we are seeing those higher placements maybe making up for our lower number of cattle on feed, but also our marketings are ticking up a little bit year over year. So that could be indicative of higher demand wanting to get more cattle slaughtered, processed, and into that consumer supply chain. Now, looking at the beef demand side of things, the all-fresh retail beef price for January was $8.15 a pound, and that's up 4.3% from a year ago. This is an extremely high price for that cross-section of all your different cuts of beef averaged out for the consumer. Despite this, though, per capita beef consumption in 2024 was 59.7 pounds. That's really strong demand as we think about how much beef prices have gone up in the last few years. The clear message here is that consumers will pay for quality beef. Interesting to note, over the past 20 years, beef has really moved from being a commodity to a premium product. And I personally think that chicken has kind of replaced beef as the commodity. Chicken is your everyday sort of workhorse protein in a lot of consumers' diets. But when they want quality, when they want something with an extra touch, even if it's a burger, even if it's ground beef, they're going to choose the beef product as that kind of premium, special occasion, top of the line experience product that they're looking for. What's also good is that the beef industry has responded to those demands. We've seen a sizable increase in the amount of upper two-thirds choice and prime quality grade carcasses. For example, in February of 2011, 66% of carcasses graded choice, compared to February of 2024, when 74%, that's an 8% increase, of carcasses graded choice. In February 2011, only 4% of carcasses graded prime versus 10% grading prime in February of 2024. So the good news is that despite prices are high, consumers are starting to shift their perception of beef and still demanding it. But of course, there are going to be some headwinds because of the trade situation. Now, the tariff situation is constantly evolving, and this is a monthly podcast episode, so we don't have the ability to do the sort of granular play-by-play spot analysis on what is happening. As you all know, tariffs are bad news from a producer standpoint, particularly for the agricultural sector here in Virginia and in the United States, because we're going to see the prices of things like fertilizer, fuel, lots of other inputs going up substantially. What's important to remember is that this administration has repeatedly shown that they are going to make a lot of different decisions to try to get their desired outcomes. Because of that, it's hard to say exactly what the impacts of the tariffs are going to be on our calf prices, on our input cost. But I think caution is what we really need to think about here. Use livestock risk protection. Use different mechanisms to protect yourself from the risk. Increase your cash reserves. Be knowledgeable that although sometimes this administration seems to just be putting on a strong face, there is the reality that the tariffs are now in place and we are going to have to deal with the consequences of those. Let's move on to our interview with Matt Knuckles, our Virginia Farm Bureau Safety Coordinator. I had the opportunity to sit down with Matt and really just think about how can we improve the safety on our farming operations as we move into the spring. Matt Knuckles is the Virginia Farm Bureau Farm Safety Coordinator. Thank you for joining me in the studio today, Matt.
Thank you for having me, Elijah. I'm really excited to share about the Farm Safety Program.
I know you have four key initiatives that you're focusing on this year: road safety for farm equipment, farm first aid, grain bin safety, and mental health and farmer stress. As many of our listeners are in spring calving season right now, what safety reminders would you like to share with them?
So I do have a background in dairy farming many years. So the first thing I'll just say, farmer to farmer, is I know you're busy. I know you're tired. Slow down. Think about what you're doing. Just take a beat before you get ready to do something. Specific with the cows, my background is in dairy. But, you know, mama cow, don't ever turn your back on her. Remember that she's going to want to protect the baby. Also think about, you know, ATVs and UTVs. You're riding those out. Think about some safety things with those. Just don't drive too fast. Put on a helmet. Think about the terrain that you're going on. You don't want to roll those over and cause major injuries.
One of your top priorities is road safety for farm equipment. What can farmers do to make traveling on roadways safer for themselves and others?
In this role, just over a year now, you can't have any kind of conversation about this without the close call story you hear from a farmer. First, so I don't miss it, we are launching a brand new contest called the Safer Contest, Safety Awareness for Farm Equipment on Roadways. It'll be launched within days of this podcast. It'll run all through the year, and it's open for organizations to host a campaign to really raise awareness to this issue. To your group and to the farmer side, I mentioned my background in farming. I'll tell you things that I haven't always done myself, but you should do, and I should do, and should have done. But certainly wear your seatbelt when you go out on the roadways. Before you get on the roadways, make sure your slow-moving vehicle signs are clean. Make sure you have signals and warning lights. If you have larger equipment, have an escort vehicle or a trail vehicle. Try to be familiar with the roadways. What are blind curves or blind hills? Have an awareness. Don't send someone out who's not experienced enough to be on highways. Just kind of look over your equipment. You know, you don't want to have a hitch come undone. You want to make sure you have enough horsepower for whatever it is you're hauling on the roads. Just a number of different things that all really go back to, I know you're tired, I know you're busy. Take a minute before you go out and think through some of these things.
That's a great reminder, Matt. I know it is so important to take our time in preparing for these trips on the roads, and there might not be a second chance to consider our safety plan. Moving on to your initiative focused on mental health and farmer stress, what resources are available for someone who may need help or know someone who does?
Yes, there's two primary resources that we are trying to direct people to, and mostly just make them aware that they're out there. The AgriStress Helpline is managed by AgriSafe. It is a phone number you can call or text. It's free. It's fully staffed by those that have experience in agriculture and a background. So when you get someone, they're going to be familiar with what you're going through, and certainly more familiar than you would if you just use any regular service. And I tell people, it's like a fire extinguisher. Like, put the number in your phone. You might not ever need it. Hopefully you don't, but it's good to have it. Just in case you're having a moment and you thought, I would never need this, but it's there and you can use it. Or maybe it's a buddy, just sharing this number with you might be someone that could help talk you through something. As farmers, we don't ever want to talk about things like that. But the reality is we are all going through it. You know, we don't talk about it with each other. Sometimes it's easier to talk to someone you don't know face to face. And I would encourage you to do that. The other thing I'll say is, you know, again, background in farming, you think, gosh, I'm hurting. I'm physically hurting from different things with farming. The more, especially in this role, that I hear about things, that might be tied more to mental health than you realize. You know, stress and anxiety can show up in a lot of different ways in the body. So sometimes what you think is a physical pain just from working a long, hard day could also be tied to mental. So the other resource I do want to mention is through American Farm Bureau and their Farm State of Mind campaign. Together All is the resource that you can check out. And all of this, you can find it through our state website, vafb.com/safety. You can find all the information for these if you just visit that. But it is an online platform, and it's completely anonymous, and it's monitored by health professionals. So another option, you can just sort of share what you're going through. And if you log in through the American Farm Bureau link, then that will actually get you some free counseling sessions through charitable donations to that program as well.
And that AgriStress helpline number is 833-897-2474. And you can call or text that number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Thank you for sharing those resources, Matt. Now, for those in need of assistance, please know that you are not alone and can call the helpline. For those who are listening and thinking that they want to do more, not just on their farm, but also in their community, how can they get involved?
Currently with the Farm Safety Program, we are really working to engage coordinators at the county level. So working through our 88 county farm bureaus and our staff department, connecting with them. But we also have over 60 volunteer individuals identified out of the 88 counties to date that are really kind of that point of contact in the county. That's just, you know, hey, what do we need in the county? How can we help implement some of the statewide initiatives, but also, hey, state level, we could use some help with this here more locally. Get involved with the County Farm Bureau, reach out. You know, again, if I mention something and where do I find that? You can always start there. They'll connect you to a field service director, which, you know, we cover the whole state with our field service directors, and they can all get a hold of me. So please do reach out and let us know any way we can try to help you.
Thank you so much for being on the show today, Matt.
Thank you, Elijah.
Let's move on now to our weather and climate outlook. The Drought Monitor is showing significant drought improvement across the state from a month ago, but not without the difficulty of flooding for some of you all I know. 72% of the state is currently drought-free, which is very exciting. The 21% that is abnormally dry is along the southern border, the Chesapeake Bay, and the southern parts of northern Virginia. 7% of the state is still in moderate drought, and that's focused in northern Virginia, the counties bordering the Potomac River, and the northern part of the Eastern Shore. Our NOAA Climate Prediction Center March outlook shows that we have equal chances of above or below normal temperatures for the northern and eastern part of the state, and a 40% chance of above normal temperatures for the rest of the state. Equal chances of above or below normal precipitation are expected for most of the state except the far southwestern tip, which has a 40% chance of above normal precipitation. So after all that snow and ice in February, we are looking at what's probably going to be a warmer month in March, but it's hard to say what the precipitation picture will be. Let's move on now and talk about our feeder cattle auction numbers. For those 5-weight steers, medium and large one in February, Abington Tri-State was at $306.47 a hundredweight. That's up 6.92% from a month ago. Blackstone was at $303.59 a hundredweight, which is down 0.32% from a month ago. Lynchburg was at $310.11 a hundredweight, down just 0.01% from a month ago. Radiant was at $316.90 a hundredweight, down 2.07% from a month ago. Shenandoah Valley was at $298.23 a hundredweight, down 5.72% from a month ago. And Winchester was at $319.34 a hundredweight, up 0.6% from a month ago. That gives us a 6-market average of $309.10 a hundredweight, up 0.2% from a month ago. Ultimately, that's a 10% year-over-year change, so we are continuing that growth trend that we saw starting last month as we set those new records, and we are very close to that record price of $309.78 a hundredweight that we posted in our six market average last month. So the markets are continuing to hold their strength. There's a lot of questions at that national feeder cattle market picture, but we'll continue to give you timely updates as well as reminders of how to stay safe on the farm. For more information on those safety programs, please do visit vafb.com/safety. Thank you for joining us this month on Cattle Pulse, and I look forward to talking to you next time.